After a little to-ing and fro-ing, that was the agreed-upon plan. I thought it was unnecessary to take the assessor exams, but recognized that I owed it to my father to do so. My main fear was that war might break out in the next 5 months, while I was still here. It would be the inevitable preventive war of the Western powers against Hitler, and I would be forced to fight on the wrong side. "The wrong side?" said my father. "Do you think the French side would be the right side for you?" "Yes," I said firmly. "In this case I do. As things are now, Germany can only be liberated from abroad." "Oh dear," said my father bitterly, "liberated from abroad. You probably don't seriously mean that. Anyway, you can't be liberated against your will, that's an impossibility. If the Germans want freedom, they will have to work for it themselves." "But do you see any means of doing that, in chains as we are now?" "No. So the only option is..." "That so is illogical," said my father. "Just because one path is blocked, it does not follow that another must be open. We should not seek comfort in illusions. Germany took refuge in illusions in 1918, and the result is the Nazis. If German liberals again resort to self-delusion, the result will be that we will have a foreign government." "Maybe that will be better than a Nazi government." "I don't know," said my father. "The more distant of two evils always seems the lesser. It may not be the lesser in reality. I myself would not raise a finger to bring about a foreign government."
"But then you see no possibilities and no hope?"
"Hardly any," said my father. "Not at the moment." Again his eyes took on that vacant, staring look of forlorn self-control, as if he were surveying a scene of vast desolation. Now and again associates from his old department would visit my father. He had retired several years ago, but he still had personal contacts there, and he enjoyed hearing how this or that matter was developing, or how this or that young colleague was shaping up. He liked to feel he was still part of things, and give the occasional hint or piece of informal advice. The visitors still came, but the conversations had become dreary and unchanging. My father would ask about a colleague, speaking his name. The visitor's answer was laconic, "Clause 4, or Clause 6. Those were clauses from a recent law. It was called the Law for the Re-establishment of the Civil Service, and its individual paragraphs allowed civil servants to be demoted, involuntarily retired, laid off with a lump sum, or sacked without any pension or payoff. Every clause contained a destiny. Clause 4 was a devastating blow. Clause 6 was demotion and humiliation. These numbers dominated conversations between civil servants. One day the president of the department visited. He was much younger than my father, and they had had their quarrels. The president had been a social democrat. My father had been far more to the right. More than once they had clashed, and things had not been helped by the fact that the younger man had the senior position. Nevertheless, they had respected each other, and they had not completely lost touch. This time the visit was painful. The president, a man in his late 40s, looked as old as my father did at 70. His hair had gone completely white. My father told me afterward that he had often lost the thread of the conversation, not answered, and looked absent-mindedly down at the floor. Then he had burst out, "It's dreadful, my friend, just dreadful." He had come to say goodbye. He was leaving Berlin to crawl away somewhere in the country. He had just come from a concentration camp. He was Clause 4. As I said, my father himself had retired long ago. He had no official powers any more, and he could have done nothing to harm the Nazis, even if he had wanted to. It seemed as though he was out of the line of fire. But one day he, too, received an official letter. It contained a detailed questionnaire. "Under Clause X of the Law for the Re-establishment of the Civil Service, you are required to answer the following questions truthfully and in full. Under Clause Y, refusal to answer will entail loss of pension." There were a lot of questions. My father had to state which political parties, organizations, and associations he had ever belonged to in his life. He had to list his services to the nation, explain this and excuse that, and finally to sign a printed declaration that he stood behind the government of national uprising without reservations. In short, having served the state for 45 years, he was required to humble himself again in order to continue to receive his well-earned pension. My father stared silently at the questionnaire for a long time.
Next day I saw him seated at his desk, the form in front of him. He was staring past it. "Are you going to fill it in?" I asked. My father looked at the questionnaire, grimaced, and said nothing for a time. Then he asked, "Do you think I should?" Silence. "I wonder what you and your mother would live on," he said at last. "I really don't know," he repeated after a while. "I don't even know," and he tried to smile, "how you will be able to go to Paris to write your thesis." There was an uneasy silence. Then my father pushed the questionnaire aside, but he did not put it away. It lay on his desk for several days. Then one afternoon, as I entered the room, I saw my father filling it in, slowly and laboriously, like a child writing a school essay. Half an hour later he went out himself and took it to the mailbox, before he could change his mind. He showed no outward change in his manner, and spoke no more excitedly than usual, but it had nonetheless been too much for him. With people who are used to restraint in word and gesture, some part of the body is invariably affected by severe mental stress. Some have heart attacks in such cases. My father's weakness was his stomach. He had hardly sat down at his desk again when he jumped up and began to vomit convulsively. For 2 or 3 days he was unable to eat or keep down any food. It was the beginning of a hunger strike by his body, which killed him cruelly and painfully 2 years later.